Welcome back to another edition of the Indiana Basketball Source Podcast. I'm Trevor Andershock, and I'll be joined once again by Jeff the Shark Shanley. We're going to go through our sectional results and then on to the regional previews that are taking place Saturday morning and into Saturday evening. So let's welcome Jeff Shanley back to the podcast.
Hey, how we doing, Trevor? Let's go ahead and start off and take a look with our sectional picks, how we did. Not exactly pretty, but decent. Trevor, you got me by 5 picks this year, so congratulations on that.
Just another year, sir. Just another year.
Yep. We tied in 4A. You took home the edge 1A and 3A, and I captured 2A picks. But overall, you got 5 more than I did. So tip the cap to you for a year.
Gonna be popping some bottles of champagne, Shark.
Hey, well, I'll try to rebound here in my region. Let's see if we can't top. Let's go ahead and get started with 4A. Up at Michigan City, and Trevor, I know you said this is where you're going to be posted up this weekend. Four really intriguing teams and a couple nice matchups here. The first game is going to be Valparaiso against South Bend Riley. And Riley, kind of not necessarily a surprise to be here whenever you have somebody the talent of Blake Wesley putting up almost 30 a game for the Wildcats, but they took out one loss South Bend Adams, the sectional championship game, got some revenge from a regular season defeat to Adams. So Riley's there, and Valpo, the Duneland champion, took out two really good teams in Chesterton and Crown Point in the sectional, and then had to battle a little bit with Portage, a team that they handled in the regular season. Had to battle a little bit with the Indians, but Barrett Kuhlman's squad comes out on top out of the Chesterton section. So that's one game, Valpo and Riley. Second game, Gary Westside, who completely dominated Munster in their sectional title win. They take on an Elkhart squad that neither of us actually picked to win the Elkhart sectional, but they come through, defeated Warsaw in the semifinals and took out rival Penn in the championship. So a couple intriguing matchups here, Valpo Riley and Westside Elkhart. What are you looking forward to seeing up at Michigan City?
I think that first game between Valpo and Riley is going to be interesting. Kind of a contrasting styles where Valpo is definitely not afraid to slow the pace down and play a defensive game. They only gave up 44 points a game on the season. Riley wants to get up and go a little bit more. Like you said, Blake Wesley going to Notre Dame, super athlete, thrives in transition. So they really want to get the tempo going a little bit more than Valpo does. I think that could be an interesting matchup. Just see if Blake Wesley has enough to overpower Valpo, or the balance, you know, of Mason Jones, Cooper Jones, Colton Jones, Grant Comstock, Brees Walls, Clayton Magdalen, if that's enough to get Valpo by Riley. Since I would say about the midpoint of the season, Riley's been playing a lot better. Seems like they're getting more from their supporting cast. Phillip Robles and Jackson Copley have really stepped up and give them, you know, a little bit of a secondary option to Blake Wesley. So can those guys, you know, produce against Valpo, or will the Vikings shut down everybody else and let Wesley get his here and there?
Yeah, and that was kind of the story with Riley in their regular season meeting against Adams. They held a Robles scoreless. Jackson Copley had 13, and then they held Blake Wesley to just 16. So kind of a perfect storm of Riley not getting contributions. It's really rare that somebody like Phillip Robles is scoreless in a game. He's usually 12 to 15 points consistently and setting up Wesley and Copley for easy buckets. So like you said, that core, that duo around Wesley has picked up their play towards the last month or so of this. So that's encouraging for Riley and Alex Dan. And then that second game, Westside and Elkhart, you know, Westside seems to be building, handled a good Lakes squad, tore up Munster in the sectional title game. You know, the train's rolling down the tracks pretty smoothly for Westside heading into.
Yeah, it seemed like Lake Central and Munster were playing pretty well at the end of the year. I thought they were going to give Westside, you know, at least competitive games, and the Cougars just rolled through them. Westside did have some injury concerns late in the season. Quamari Peterson missed a game. against Andrean late in the year for an ankle. Kershawn Christmas missed some time, and then Mason Nicholson missed about 2 months, I believe. All those guys are back, and it seems like they contributed to that sectional victory. You add in a big-time player like 2022 power forward Jalen Washington, who has got a pretty stroke from the outside, scores inside, rebounds at a high level. They definitely have all the talent to make a deep run here. Elkhart, you know, really relies on defense, held Penn to 34 points in that title game, and they're doing it more with a balanced offense. Donovan Johnson, Damarian Anderson, Malachi Emmons, all averaging around double figures for them. So it's definitely going to be a major test for Elkhart. I think Westside gets through here, and then I'm picking Valpo in a pretty close game to get by Riley in the first one. So I'll take Westside and Valpo for the regional title, and I'll go Cougars to advance the semi-state here, Shark.
Yeah, that first game with Valpo Riley is going to be a tempo battle here. Valpo wants to slow you down, kind of grind it out through their posts, Mason and Cooper Jones, and Riley's obviously much more athletic, going to get up and down the floor. And then I think same thing in the second game, like you said, Elkhart relies on defense. They're going to want to keep the pace down, and Westside's going to want to let their talent show. I'm with you on Valpo and Westside winning in the semifinals, and I'll take Westside as well coming out of Michigan.
That's good. Let's move on, Shark.
Heading down to Logansport, kind of the game of the postseason so far, taking place at 9:30 on Saturday morning. Number one Homestead against number two Carmel. We knew these two would probably lock horns at some point in the state tournament on the north side of 4A, and we get it here in a regional semifinal. That's going to be a headline game. A lot of eyes on that one all around the state. The second game there, Carroll, who got 45 from Jalen Jackson in their sectional title win against Snyder, takes on Lafayette Jeff, who avenged a regular season defeat to McCutcheon County and conference rival. And the Broncos, led by Northwestern signee Brooks Barnheiser, won the Marion sectional. They will take on Carroll in the second semifinal. Like I just said, all eyes are going to be on this Homestead Carmel game to start us off at Logansport. What are some kind of storylines, the game within the game, that you think are going to help decide the winner?
I think it basically comes down to Carmel's defense against Homestead's high-powered offense. Obviously, Carmel's been known for the way they lock down people for, you know, the last 10 years or so, and they definitely showed that in the sectional against, you know, Braden Smith and Westfield in the sectional title game. They did a good job at containing him. He scored 18 points, but it took 6 out of 15 shooting, and nobody else for Westfield scored more than 3 points. Can Carmel do something like that to Homestead, where maybe they allow Fletcher Lawyer or Luke Goody to get some shots, but they shut down everybody else? I think that's the main storyline going into it. And then just how does Brian Waddell and Pete Suter match up against, Goody and Lawyer on the other end? Can Waddell and Suter score and keep them in the game if Homestead is hitting shots and scoring at a high rate? I think those are the main things to look for in this one, Shark.
Yeah, and the decision-making of Homestead is going to be key here, because I do think the tempo is going to slow down a little bit. Carmel's going to make sure they get good shots. I think Carmel can do some things offensively to counteract Homestead. Homestead does a lot of switching their like sizes. You know, they play, you know, four kids between 6'4 and 6'7. That can switch and are all decent perimeter defenders and strong enough to guard in the post. So how Carmel tries to attack that switching defense will be key here. And then, you know, obviously Homestead's got to make sure that Goody and Lawyer both have good games, because they're going to need them both. If it's just one, and like you said, Carmel lets one kind of do their thing while they lock down everybody else, I think that bodes well for the Greyhound. They're going to want to make sure Lawyer and Goody are clicking on all cylinders in that game. And then you look at Carroll and Lafayette Jeff, and two teams that, you know, go about things very differently. Carroll's going to want to grind you out and extremely physical. Lafayette Jeff wants to get you up and down and play kind of a freewheeling, open post, five out offense where they're just attacking and driving kicks. So interesting play here. You have two really good coaches in Marty Beasley and Mark Barnheim. Should be a good second game at Logansport as well.
Yeah, obviously going to be overshadowed by number one versus number two in that Homestead Carmel game. But like you said, they go about it different ways, but they're pretty similar in the fact that they really rely on one guy to do a lot of the heavy lifting for them. You know, Brooks Barnheiser putting up a ton of points, nearly a triple-double every time out for Lafayette Jeff. And then for Carroll, you have Jalen Jackson, the guard, scored 45 points against Snyder in the sectional title game. So both teams really rely on one guy to carry the offense. Will Carroll be able to slow down Brooks Barnheiser, kind of make Ashton Beaver beat him? Can Lafayette Jeff put some size on Jalen Jackson and slow him down, maybe make Sam Stryker beat him? It'll be interesting just to see how that matches up and what the strategies are to contain those big scores on both sides.
Yeah, you look at Carroll, and it's really a bunch of shooters around Jalen Jackson manning, you know, the paint from the point guard position. You have Cody Berkey, Ryan Preston, Zach Castater coming off the bench at 6'6", really can shoot. And Sam Stryker, kind of that point forward role. He plays out really at the top of the key and runs a lot of their half-court offense. Frees up Jalen Jackson to post up guards. It's going to be really interesting to see who Mark Barnheiser puts on Jackson. I think this might be like a Josiah Kirk Williams assignment, who at 6'2 and strong and really athletic can put a little bit of size and quickness without getting pushed around by Jackson. Jackson loves to just body smaller guards and take them to the you look at him, you may be Jacob Colicott as somebody else you could put on him. I think it's going to have to be multiple defenders to get Jackson. And then obviously Jeff's going to want to make sure Brooks Barnheiser gets going early and gets into a rhythm, and then just let the others play off. Two really intriguing matchups with a lot of kind of hidden storylines in between there. So Trevor, what do you think is going to happen on Logansport on Saturday?
The first one, you know, I think it's going to be an instant classic, one that could really pass for a state title game between Carmel and Homestead. I'm going to give the slight edge to Carmel. That's who we both picked in our sectional podcast to win it all. I still think their defense is going to be enough to slow them down. And man, they were clicking on all cylinders in the sectional. So I think that carries over to this regional. I think they get it done against Homestead. I'll take Lafayette Jeff in the second game. I think Brooks Barnheiser is going to be able to power them through. I think the size might be able to bother Jalen Jackson a little bit. Maybe we see Barnheiser switched on to him late in the game to slow him down if he's not in foul trouble. That's something I would like to see. But then in the title game, I'll take Carmel over Lafayette Jeff. So I'll take Carmel to win the Logansport Regional here, Shark.
Yeah, I'm gonna echo your sentiments here about that first game. I think you could play this out 10 times and each team would win 5. But how do you pick who's gonna go in and win here in postseason play? I think, like you said, Brian Waddell's back to 100%, and they were playing really well during his injury. So he obviously adds a huge piece, very versatile at 6'6", and athletic, can get to the rim, can knock down shots. So I'm going to take the Greyhounds in the first game close, but I'll give the edge to Carmel. And then I think I'm going to take Carroll in the second game. I think you give Marty Beasley a week to game plan. He's going to come up with some defensive strategies here. Carroll has a lot of guys who are skilled at just passing and catching and making sure they get the right shots, making sure that, you know, they don't turn the ball over. So I think they can frustrate Lafayette Jeff, and Lafayette Jeff not being able to play an up-tempo game. I think you put them in the half court more often than not, and it's going to frustrate them. So I'll take the Chargers in second game. And then I think Carmel, it's a rematch of a regular season Carmel, and Carmel controlled that game. I think they'll do that again. So I'll take the come out of low.
In the second game, the Carmel or the Carroll Lafayette Jeff game, do you expect Carroll to slow it down, try to play in like the 40s, or what are you expecting there?
Yeah, I think that's where Carroll's most comfortable, to be honest with you. I think they're really good at picking their spots in transition. You know, if Jalen Jackson gets ahead of steam, you know, gets a rebound, he's averaging 8 rebounds a game. He gets a defensive rebound and he sees a wide open middle of the floor, he's going to attack. But that's a very high percentage look for Carroll. They're not a team that's going to come down and take quick threes that are contested or force things in the paint against 3 and 4 defenders. I think they're perfectly content playing a 45 to 42 game. And I don't know if Jeff's really prepared to play that style. They're going to force their tempo and maybe sometimes to their own detriment. So I think, you know, if it gets in the 60s and 70s, that's obviously advantage Jeff, but in the 40s and 50s, I'll go Carolina. That's kind of what I think this
is good.
Let's move on down to the Southern semi-state action at historic Southport Fieldhouse on Saturday, a tradition regionals at Southport. Let's go the first matchup, Battle of Mick rivals, Lawrence North, who took out sectional 10 at Tech, went through that field, definitely earned that sectional title. They'll take on the Ben Davis Giants, who've been surging here following the eligibility ruling for Jaden Brewer, the 6'5 senior wing, has been dynamite for the Giants and Don Carlisle coming down the stretch. That's our first matchup. Our second one, the Girard Twins lead Mount Vernon against a Plainfield Quaker squad that's kind of gone under the radar, but has put together a fantastic season out there on the southwest side of it.
Yeah. On paper, this seems like, you know, probably Lawrence North rolls through it, but I'm really interested to see how they do against Ben Davis. Like you said, the Giants are playing a lot better with Jaden Brewer. He's a 6'5 wing, super athletic. He's been great all season long for him. He got eligible in January, so he's definitely a difference maker. They've gone from an average team to a really good team in a short amount of time. So I think they're going to give Lawrence North a game. And, you know, coming out of that sectional 10, is there any letdown? You just played three big-time games against three big-time teams. So there's always a possibility of thinking you've kind of achieved more than you really have by just getting through that gauntlet. So I think that's going to be fun to see. And then in that second game, Mount Vernon against Plainfield, like you said, Plainfield's had a great year. Ian Scott's been terrific as a senior. They have positional size all around the court with Aiden Boer, Aiden Moyers, Cale Vanderbush around Ian Scott. So that's going to be a big-time matchup where Mount Vernon features the Girard Twins, 2022 guards, where Armand's more of a shooter, ball handler type. Ahmad's a slasher. More of a wing, a little bit bigger. So can they produce against the size and solid defense of Plainfield, or will Plainfield roll through that one?
Yeah, I think the first matchup, Lawrence North beat Ben Davis 57-39 at the beginning, I think the second week of February. So it's only been about 4 weeks since these two have played. Like you said, Lawrence North gets through sectional 10. We've seen some surprises in the morning game at Southport before. Could this be another one? Ben Davis surging, obviously Lawrence North playing well. Do they overlook Ben Davis and kind of focus more on the championship game? I think that's a question that you have to ask. And then the second game, you know, Plainfield has, this is one of their best seasons they've put together in several years, you know, and it's a veteran ball club. So I think their focus is laser sharp. They took down rival Brownsburg, a very low scoring game, 29-28, where every possession means so much in that sectional title game. And so they've proven themselves. I think I'm going to go Lawrence North. I think just the way CJ Gunn's playing heading down the last 3 or 4 weeks has really elevated Lawrence North's potential. If you get him consistently up around 20 points a game, that just frees up so much for the rest of their squad. So I'll take the Wildcats there. I think Plainfield's just on a roll right now. I'll take them in the second game to set up a LN Plainfield title game. Man, that would be a very, very hotly contested at night, but I'll take the Wildcats coming up Southport.
Sticking with the chalk there. It was interesting to see, you know, Plainfield hasn't won a sectional since 1999 when they were 3A in the state title with Gavin Groniger, who went to Michigan. And it's interesting to see they played Mount Vernon in a regional that year as well. Plainfield obviously won. I'm going to go with Lawrence North. You know, I do think Ben Davis has a good chance of pulling the upset, but like you said, Shamar Avance, DJ Hughes, CJ Gunn, and even, you know, Caden Beatty and Devon McCauley really, really stepped up in the sectional. So I think they're going to be tough to beat. And then at second game, I'm sticking with Plainfield too. They've just proven that they can win games in tough situations. So I'm going to piggyback all your picks here, Shark. I'm going to stick with Lawrence North to win it too. I do expect if it is Plainfield and Lawrence North, it'll be a low scoring, slow paced game where Plainfield tries to work the ball as much as possible. Yeah, keep it kind of like that Brownsburg game where it's limited possessions and anything can happen. But I'll take Lawrence North to get to the semi stage.
And let's wrap up 4A by heading down to Seymour, always a regional that provides just such amazing games. You know, these teams from all over the southern part of the state, and you're always going to be in for a treat at Seymour. You know, you're going to have some really good games on hand for you. The first one, Bloomington South, never a surprise to see the Panthers in the regional round, but maybe unexpected this year with all they've had to battle through. They take on a Jeffersonville team that ran through the Seymour Regional with a couple of close wins. The Red Devils behind Will Loving's Watts are having a phenomenal year there on the banks of the Ohio River. The second game, we see Center Grove coming out of the Whiteland Sectional. They defeated rival Greenwood to win that sectional. And then Wrights picked up a win over Evansville Central to win the Evansville North Sectional. They're led by senior wing Owen Deese. So a couple of real good matchups here, Bloomington South and Jeffersonville. Trevor, let's get your thoughts on that one.
Yeah, obviously four really big names, traditional powerhouses, Bloomington South, Jeffersonville. They are frequent guests at Seymour throughout the years. That's going to be fun. Bloomington South really played well down the stretch. Joey Bamba had a great year, averaging about 18.5 points per game. Trevor Taylor transferred in from Edgewood to give him about 13 points a game. That made up for the loss of Connor Hickman. He missed the whole season, the Bradley signing. We didn't really know what to expect once he went down and was going to miss the whole season, but obviously, J.R. Holmes knows how to coach him up, and he did just that. So it should be a good matchup for Jeffersonville. Will Loving's Watts, the junior guard, had a fantastic year. Like you said, hit the game winner against Floyd Central in triple overtime. He's going to be putting pressure on the South defense belt at all times. And then they had a senior move in as well, Brandon Razor Moore. He actually started at Jeffersonville his freshman year before moving across the river to Kentucky and came back with a Kentucky season in doubt. He got the full season in with the Red Devils. South is on a 16-game winning streak. Jefferson on a 9-game winning streak. So both teams are playing well. Should be a fun matchup. I think I'm going to take Jeffersonville to get by Bloomington South. I don't know if I would have made that prediction a week ago, but I think Jeffersonville is really clicking on all cylinders here. So I'll take them to get by the Panthers. In the second game, Center Grove against Wrights. Center Grove obviously had some really low scoring games in the sectional, slipped by Greenwood. So should be an interesting matchup here. Wrights likes to get up and down a little bit more, not quite to the level of their 2015 team, where they were trying to score 80 or 90 a game, but they do like to get up and down a lot more than Center Grove does. So it'll be a little bit of a contrasting styles there. It should be fun to see how Taven Jackson, Landon Hacker, Charlie Bemis kind of match up with Owen Deese, try to slow him down and see what the game plan is from Zach Kahn to take Deese out of the game. But I'm going to go with Center Grove to beat Wrights. And then for the title game, Jeffersonville against Center Grove. I'll take, this is a tough one, Shark. I think it's pretty close, but I'll take Center Grove to advance to semi-state here, Shark.
Hey, I'm gonna differ a little bit with you. I'm going to pick J.R. Holmes and the Bloomington South Panthers to take out Jeffersonville. I think, you know, this group, maybe more so than any other, has had to rely on each other. They don't have the stars, the big names, the high major type kids they've had in the past. This is really a collective effort from the Panthers. I think that continued against Jeffersonville. So I'll take Bloomington South in the first game. And I'll go Wrights in the second game. I think, you know, they're playing well to end the year. I think Center Grove is gonna give them a game, but maybe just not able to get over the hump against Wrights. So I'll take Bloomington South and Wrights in the title game, and I'll take the Panthers of Bloomington South to come away with a title.
I thought you were going to go tricky since South and Wrights are the Panthers and just go with the Panthers.
I'll take Bloomington South in the battle.
I marked that down, Shark. Let's move over to 3A there.
Heading up to 3A, South Bend, Washington. The first game of the regional, South Bend St. Joe against Twin Lakes. J.R. Kinesny, the Notre Dame signee, leading the St. Joseph Indians to a sectional title at South Bend, Washington. So they come back to for the second week in a row, taking on a Twin Lakes squad that Kent Adams, again, has marching through the post. That'll be the first game. The second game, Hammond, the number one 3A, takes on New Prairie, who won their home section with a victory over Hammond last week. I think the favorites right now, you'd have to look at St. Joseph and Hammond. That's not to say Twin Lakes and New Prairie don't have other design for Saturday.
Yeah, I was expecting Mishawaka Marion to be in South Bend St. Joe's place, but obviously not a huge shock with the senior rotation that St. Joe's has, led by, like you said, Kinesny. Been a fantastic high school player throughout his career and heading to Notre Dame once it's finished. Will Twin Lakes have enough to slow him down? And if they slow him down, do they have enough to stop, you know, Will Terry, Jack Fuda, and that whole group? It seems like they're definitely going to be fighting uphill here, but Twin Lakes does have Noah Johnson averaging about 16 a game and Clayton Bridwell about 14 a game. So they do have some firepower of their own, but I think St. Joe advances here. In the second game, Hammond against New Prairie. I love Hammond. You know, they steamrolled through that that sectional 17-1 on the year, and they only lost game to Lawrence North in the first game of the year. So I think they have all the talent in the world for a 3A team. Daryl Reed, Harold Woods, Reggie Abram. That trio alone can really cause havoc, and they have good supporting cast around those guys too. New Prairie, led by Braden Flagg, score about 15 a game. I just don't know if they're going to be able to handle the pressure and just the overall size and athleticism of Hammond. So I'll take the Wildcats of Hammond to advance here, setting up a great matchup between St. Joe and Hammond. But again, I think Hammond's just too talented. They're going to be able to pressure St. Joe all over the court. So I'll take Hammond to advance the semi-state chart.
Yeah, I'm going to mirror your picks. I have St. Joseph in the first game, just a little bit too much Kinesny for Twin Lakes to handle. And then Hammond has been on a scorched earth path here since, you know, like you said, the beginning of the year. They've rolled through a lot of really good competition. They're not playing a bunch of also-rans here. They're really tough. So I'll take St. Joseph and Hammond to win the morning games, and then Hammond to come away with the victory over St. Joe. A game effort from St. Joe, but Hammond just a little bit too much, so I'll take them to cut down the nets at South Bend, Washington.
We're taking chalk there, Shark. Taking all chalk.
Moving on down to Newcastle for the other 3A North Regional. A couple of maybe surprise winners here. Northwood, no stranger to sectional titles here in the past few years or so. They won the West Noble sectional over West Noble last Saturday to advance. Newcastle gets to play on their home floor for the second week in a row. Kind of a surprise winner. They took out a really good Delta squad in the sectional semifinals and then managed to escape with the 51-49 win over the Gus Etchison-led Hamilton Heights Huskies sectional title game. Newcastle sitting here this season at just 9-15 right now, under the 500 mark by several games, but Daniel Cox has his squad rolling in the postseason, so that's going to be an intriguing first matchup. The second game, Mississinewa taking on Leo. Mississinewa won their own sectional over Norwell, and Leo took out Bishop Dwenger. Kind of a wide open regional here. Now, big names, no real star players, but some quality basketball teams that really don't get a lot of pub around the state playing at Castle.
Yeah, I really think Newcastle has a chance to extend its surprise run here. Like you said, playing on their home court, that's got to give them a little bit of advantage. They're playing a Northwood team that's, you know, obviously good and has a winning tradition, but they don't have any superstars on the squad. Obviously, Aaron Wolf, their 14th year at Northwood, racked up 227 victories, not by luck. So they're going to be ready for Newcastle. But I like Cole McDonald, the senior for the Trojans, scoring, what, it was about 18 a game or so for him. And I think that firepower is pretty good for him. So, you know, I'm going to pick Newcastle to keep their surprise run going here in the first round, I think they sneak by Northwood. In that second game, Mississinawa against Leo. Leo obviously was a top five team in 3A for most of the year. Hit a little bit of a rough patch late. And then Mississinawa, 17-8 on the year, led by Landon Swanner and Ty McClung, two seniors in the 17-point range. And, you know, both of them will do a little bit of everything, rebound, dish out some assists, play make for each other. So they're going to have the talent level to compete with Leo. But you've seen Leo a bunch, Shark. I think Leo's got a little bit more talent than Mississinawa, a little bit more connectivity, I would say. So I'm going to take Leo in that second one, setting up a Newcastle Leo game, and then I'll take Leo. I think just the overall talent level is a lot better for them. Blake Davidson, DJ Allen, Zach Troyer. I mean, that group alone should give them enough firepower to get by Newcastle. So I'll take Leo to win the Newcastle region.
Yeah, I think I'm going to go Northwood in the first game. Obviously, like you said, Aaron Wolf not doing it with smoke and mirrors, just really solid play. A very balanced squad for Northwood and Newcastle. You know, they are playing well to end the year here, but I think this is where their run ends here. And then the second game, you look at Mississinawa, obviously with their talented duo. Leo, Blake Davidson's just been on a tear the past couple weeks, especially in the sectional. He really just put the Lions on his back in a semifinal win over Bishop, and then just an absolute clinic against the Bishop Dwenger Saint in the sectional title game. Really got into the mid-range and was able to do whatever he wanted. And he's got two really good options to drop off passes if people go look to double-team him as he gets in the lane. DJ Allen lived off of that. Zach Troyer can finish dump offs. So especially with those two, they really go at you hard on the offensive glass. It's not always the prettiest thing to see with Allen and Troyer, but they come at you for 32 minutes on the offensive glass, and they're really a load to handle on the backboards. I'll take Leo in the second game, and I'll take Leo to advance over Northwood to go to semi.
We're not disagreeing too often here, Shark.
No, let's see if we can get some disagreement as we head to 3A South. Let's go over to Greencastle for this regional. Northview and Beech Grove in the first game. Northview taking out Edgewood in the Owen Valley sectional, and Beech Grove winning a title on their home floor against Indian Creek last week. The second game, I think, is really intriguing. You have Garen Catholic, winners of the Lebanon sectional. They took out Brebeuf Jesuit and Greencastle, who won the Frankfurt sectional over the Hot Dogs. Greencastle getting to play on their home floor for the, really two good games here, two evenly matched teams. But I think the second one has a lot of intrigue with the matchups with Joe Babilia, Caleb Edwards, and Brody Whitaker in that.
Yeah, that one should be fun. I've been on the Garen Catholic bandwagon for most of the year. Like you said, Babilia and Edwards are a great 1-2 punch, especially at 3A level. Babilia more of a shooter, Edwards more of a slasher at 6'3", good athlete. So they're definitely going to be putting a lot of pressure on Brody Whitaker and Greencastle. That'll be a fun one. I think I'll take Garen Catholic. Yeah, I think they're one of the top 3A teams in the state, so I'm going to take them. In the first one, that should be a good game between Northview and Beech Grove. Northview, led by Caleb Swearingen, about 18 points a game. They had a huge game from Brevin Cooper in the, I think it was a sectional semifinal. I think he went for like 30 or 32 points. And then they have Drew Cook scoring about 13 a game. So that trio can really score. And Beech Grove does it by a little bit more. A little bit more balanced, where you have Jaden Curry, Gavin Mitchell, and those guys only scoring about 11 a game, 11 or 12 a game. So the Hornets spread it out a little bit more. I'll take Northview to pull. I don't know if you want to call it an upset. They're both around the same record-wise, but I like Northview in that one. Setting up a Garen Northview title game. And then I got to stick with Garen Catholic here, Shark. Been riding with him all year. I'm going to keep going. So I'll go with Garen to win the Greencastle sector.
Yeah, you look at the year Garen's had, and they've had some big wins this year. Greencastle, Brody Whitaker is one of the best players in the state that people don't talk about. He's getting ready to go to Marion next year. The 6'2 guard can really fill it up. And I think that's going to be a really intriguing matchup because, man, I like both those teams. They've proven themselves throughout the year. I think I'm going to have to go Garen Catholic, though. I think they've just been tested a little bit more. So I'll take them in that game. I'll take Beech Grove and the Hornets to come out of the first game. I think, you know, Matt Renfro's squad has had a great year, a little bit more balanced for them. So I think they're more consistent. So I'll take Beech Grove and Garen Catholic here at Greencastle. And I think, like you said, Garen Catholic's been one of the better top five 3A for most of the year, one of the five best squads in that class. I'll take Garen Catholic coming out of Greencastle as well. A little bit of hesitation. I think Greencastle certainly has a good shot to claim the Nets here on there, but I'll stick with Garen Catholic.
You don't want to throw an upset pick in there, Sheriff? Come on.
There might be one here coming at the Washington Regional as we wrap up 3A South at the Hatchet House. Great first matchup to start us off there. Heritage Hills, Blake Sisley taking on Silver Creek in their three-headed monster of Trey Kaufman, Cooper Jacoby. The second game there, Connersville. It's hard to say Connersville winning in the postseason is a surprise, but they took out Greensburg at Greensburg and really controlled that game. And then they'll play Sullivan, who won the Washington sectional. So they're back at the Hatchet House for a second straight week. They took out Vincent's sectional title. Two really good matchups here. Really looking forward to the Blake Sisley and Trey Kaufman battle on Saturday morning. That should be a really good one. And then Connersville and Sullivan matching up in the second game. Trevor, how do you think Heritage Hills is going to be able to slow down the trio that Silver Creek?
I really don't see them having much of a chance to slow them down. Personally, I think it's going to be Blake Wesley or bust for Heritage Hills. He's going to have to put him on his back like he did in the sectional where he had, 40 points and 13 rebounds. Just a dominant effort. He'll have to repeat that if the Patriots are going to have a chance of pulling this upset. Silver Creek was tested twice in the sectional. North Harrison gave him a good run. And then Madison, the Cubs, gave him a solid game as well. So they're not unbeatable, but I just don't think Heritage Hills has enough around Blake Sisley to get this done. So I'll go Silver Creek in that one. The second game, I think, is a pure coin flip between Connersville and Sullivan. Really enjoy watching the Sullivan team. Randy Kelly, Jackson Hills, Brandon Flanagan. That trio is really tough and fun to watch. I'll do a little bit of different things. Jackson Hills, that inside presence for him. Connersville, classic Kerry Brown team. Dominance on defense, controls the ball. They're not afraid to play in the 20s or 30s. It'll be interesting to see if they can bring that pace down, you know, to that level against Sullivan and just work the ball throughout and beat the Golden Arrows there, Shark. But I'm gonna go Sullivan and the nail biter there. And I think that Silver Creek Sullivan game would be a really good one. You know, their stars kind of match up with each other. Good point guard and then a couple bigger guys. So should be pretty even. I'd give obviously the overall talent level to Silver Creek when you got a guy like Trey Kaufman Wren scoring, what was he, about 27 a game, 13 rebounds or so. So obviously a guy that's going to be nearly impossible to stop, but should match up pretty well. But I got to go with the Dragons here, Shark. I'll go with Silver Creek to win this regional.
Okay, I'm kind of with you as well in the first game. I just don't think Heritage Hills can slow down all three of the Silver Creek stars, so I think Silver Creek advances there. I'm going to take Connersville in the second game. I think, you know, we talk about Carmel dominance on defense and ball possession, and Connersville really kind of mirrors that style of play. No high scores, but they don't need it. Like you said, they're comfortable playing in the 30s and even the 20s, and I think they're not a team that usually lets other teams pick the tempo. They're always the ones who control the tempo and the pace of the game. So I think the Trojans take out Sullivan in the second game. I do think Silver Creek, just too much firepower, though. You can slow down teams to an extent, but there's not a team that can put three 20-point-per-game scores on the floor like Silver Creek does. So I think the Dragons as well coming out of Washington in that.
All right, sounds good. Not too many differing opinions here. I guess we have a lot in the morning games, but not too many different champions, I would say.
Yep. Let's head over to 2A, the North Judson Regional. Boone Grove won the North Judson Sectional, so they're back at NJSP for the second week in a row, taking on Bowman, who came out of a really good sectional at Whiting. A lot of really good teams there. And they beat the other three best teams in that sectional to get there, taking out and drain in the opener, Ileana Christian, the semifinal, and Marquette Catholic in the championship. So Bowman definitely earned that sectional title game. That's the first game, Boone Grove and Bowman. The second game, Cherubusco, who won another really good sectional at Westview. They took out Central Noble in the semis and Eastside in the championship game. They face off against 2A number one Blackhawk Christian, led by Caleb First, who went through the Bluffton section. Trevor got a couple of region teams against a couple of Northeast Indiana teams. Be one of those, one from each matching up in the title game. Who do you think gets there?
Yeah, I mean, if Blackhawk Christian was not so dominant, I mean, this would be a great 2A regional. But, you know, you can't expect anybody basically at the 2A level to beat Blackhawk Christian this year. That Boone Grove Bowman game should be fun. Matchup, Trey Stanghilber and Karan Davis, both of them really good players. Davis went for 33 points in that upset win over Andrain in the sectional. Still available in the senior class. Stanghilber is a junior guard. I think he averages around 18 points a game, somewhere around there. So that should be a pretty fun matchup. I'll take Bowman to get by. I think the athleticism will just be a little bit too much. I think Karan Davis will be the best player on the floor. So I'll take the Eagles there. And then Cherubusco against Blackhawk Christian. Obviously, you're going up against a powerhouse when you face Blackhawk Christian. But Cherubusco's played a tough 2A schedule. They've been tested before. They have some size in Landon Jordan to battle Caleb First inside. They'll need a big game from Jackson Paul. And Blackhawk Christian just too good. I mean, they would probably be a favorite in 3A if they were up another class. Like Caleb First, Marcus Davison, Zane Burke. I mean, that trio alone is big time. And then they have even more players around them. So I'll take Blackhawk to advance the regional championship game to face Bowman. And then I'll take Blackhawk Christian. Bowman just does not have very much size. I don't think they have any way of stopping Caleb First around the basket. So I'll take the Braves to win another regional here, Shark.
Yeah, you look at, I think Bowman just a little bit more talent and athleticism than Boone Grove is. So I'll take Bowman out of the first. I do think Cherubusco, you know, you look at their stars kind of match up with Blackhawk stars. You have the point guard spot, Jackson Paul, going up against Zane Burke, and then inside Landon Jordan, who had a dominant sectional along with Paul, gives some size and athleticism to go up against Caleb First. But I think foul trouble can hurt Cherubusco. They're really only six deep. Three of those six are freshmen. This is the first time for them environment. And Luke McClure, kind of that third senior, their wing scorer, can shoot a little bit, likes to play the passing lane, get steals and get out in transition a little bit. He's kind of struggled the last couple of weeks. Usually he puts in about 15 a game or so. He's been held in single digits often the past. Had a couple of off games in the sectional. They're going to need big-time performances from Luke McClure here on Saturday morning to keep it close to Blackhawk. But ultimately, like you said, just too much talent, too much depth. Just too much everything, Brave. I'll take them to come out of the second game, and then I think Blackhawk takes out Bowman in the title.
Do you agree with my assessment that Blackhawk would be the favorite in 3A if they were to magically move up a class right now?
I mean, I don't know necessarily the favorite, but, man, if you could tell me that we got to see a Hammond-Blackhawk-Christian matchup in the regional championship or the semi-state in 3A, man, I think that'd be a heck of a game. I think maybe not the favorite, but you would have to put Blackhawk on the short list. 3 to 5 teams that were the top of 3A. They're just so good. And a veteran ball club, too. They start forcing and bring some talent off the bench as well. So I definitely think you're on the right track with that assessment. They would definitely be the top 3A team.
We need an open division, Shark. Anybody who wants to come in, it's up for grabs.
Let's do it. Let's also head on down to LaPel for the other 2A North Regional. Blackford traveling Luke Brown show. He dropped 50 in their sectional title win against Taylor on their home floor. They take on a Wapahani team led by Aiden Franks and Isaac Andrews, a couple of young, really talented, high-scoring guards for Matt Luke. And then the second game, Rossville, the Hornets, who won the Fountain Central sectional over a good Carroll squad, take on Rochester. They won the Delphi sectional over Cass. Just one loss this year for the Zebras heading into the regional round. Trevor, the backcourt's going to be on full display in this Blackford-Wapahani game. You have the experience and high scoring, obviously, of Luke Brown. And then Wapahani brings the youth to the matchup.
Yeah, I want to see if that youth can slow down Luke Brown at all. They haven't seen a player like Luke Brown before. Can Isaac Andrews and Aiden Frank slow him down? Obviously, hard to bet against slowing or hard to bet for slowing down Luke Brown since, you know, he's closing in 3,000 career points. He's sitting at 29-27 heading into the regional round. So if he has two big games here, Shark, he could eclipse the 3K mark this weekend. But I'm going to have to go with Luke Brown in that matchup. I mean, I just don't see those youngsters being ready to beat a talent like Luke Brown in the regional. So I'll go Blackford in that first one. In the second game, Rossville and Rochester, I just watched that, 2009 state title game between Rochester and Princeton Shark.
Bruce Grimm going all Steph Curry in that game.
Yeah, that was pretty impressive. I don't know if they have a player like that that can carry him to the state championship again here, Shark. But what do you see out of with this matchup between Rossville and Rochester?
Yeah, I think just two really overall solid programs that have had fantastic years here. You look at who they've gone through, and Kara was having a phenomenal year at the 2A level. The Cougars really were one of the better teams in that area. And Rossville just really handled them the sectional title game. So that was a well-earned title for the Hornets. And then Rochester, obviously, you look just one loss on the year for the Zebras. They sit at 18-1 coming into regional play. And they haven't lost since the turn of the year. They're only lost to Lewis Cass on December 30th. So they've held a lot of opponents to under 50 points. So this could be one where we see a low-scoring game. Rossville at 17-7. They've had a couple close calls, and to be honest with you, they've lost to some teams that maybe aren't as talented as this Rochester squad. So I'm gonna go with Rochester in that second game. I'm kind of torn on this first game because, you know, how long can Blackford rely on just Luke Brown? You need players like Dawson Hundley, Landon Grimes to come over and take some pressure off of them. Especially in close games, because you know they're going to be sending two and three defenders at Luke if he's got the ball late in the game and make somebody else be kind of intriguing here. But I think I'm going to stick Blackford. I think, you know, Luke's on a mission right now. He's, like you said, closing in on 3,000. It's a couple more games to do it, I think. But I think that's the pick in the first game, and I have Rochester in the second game. I'm going to go ahead and take the Zebras to win the regional. I think, you know, they're having a fantastic year. And maybe the Luke Brown era comes to an end, maybe prior to what he would want it to. But I'm going to go Rochester to come out of lapel on.
Oh, interesting, Shark. I was thinking about taking Rochester over in Rossville. Their efficiency was just a little bit better. Grant McCarter averaged about 12 a game for them. Quinn Stesiak, I think that might be how you say it. Kyle Rinsnart, that's another guess for you, Shark. I don't know how to say that name. But, you know, pretty balanced team for him. But I'm going to take, I'm actually going to take Rossville over Rochester. Damon Shaw, about 16 a game for him, leading the way, about 8 rebounds as well. So I'm going to take Rossville with a slight upset there. But I'm going to go back to Blackford to win the whole thing. I think Luke Brown is going to be on that mission to get to 3,000 points, carrying the Bruins to a semi-state. So I'm going to take Luke Brown and Blackford here, Shark.
Sounds good, Trevor. Let's head to 2A South, a really good regional at Greenfield for us on Saturday. The first game, Park Heritage coming over from Western Indiana. They take on Triton Central, kind of a surprise sectional winner. Each of us thought that would come out between South Decatur and South Ripley, and Triton Central comes from the other side of the bracket to win at Milan. And then the second game, I think the best 2A game of the regional semifinals. We have Shenandoah and Covenant Christian, two really good 2A squads that have talent all the way across the board from 1 to 5. So that should be a really good game, second semifinal. Kind of three teams we expected to be here, and then Triton Central sneaks up on us, and they've got plans to sneak up on some people again this week.
Yeah, can they get another game winner at the buzzer to advance here like they did in the sectional? I don't know. But Park Heritage, led by sophomore Christian Johnson, 24-3 on the year, obviously is going to be ready for Triton Central. I think Park Heritage gets by them, I would say, relatively easily. I think it's going to be at least a 10-point game. And then you're looking at the Shenandoah Covenant Christian game. I mean, if Blackhawk Christian's not a 2A team, if they do get magically moved up to 3A like we were talking about, this could really pass for a state title game. Both really talented teams with lots of depth, for especially for a 2A, for the 2A level. Really enjoyed watching Covenant Christian throughout this year. Trey Flatt can really light it up from all sorts of distances. Brock Buckley inside. They just have a variety of guys, you know, even off the bench, that can really contribute for them. And they're fun to watch. They get up and down. They'll press a little bit. Just a fun team to watch. And then obviously Shenandoah, they're no stranger to postseason runs with this 2021 group. And they're going to be definitely ready for Covenant Christian pressure and pace here, Shark.
Yeah, I think you look at, obviously, I think Park Heritage maybe just a little bit too much for Triton Central in the first game, so I'm going to take them. The second game, you look at Shenandoah, this group as sophomores made it to semi-state before falling to Linton Stockton. Really, I think the emergence of Cam Grady, who had a decent junior campaign, but he's really come on strong his senior year, gives him a legit presence inside. And then you've got three kids that are all comfortable handling the ball in the backcourt, so it's really difficult to pressure Shenandoah. I think the key for them has really been getting Andrew Bennett back going. The senior point guard had a really devastating injury at the end of the football season. Took him a while, really, till after the new year to get back 100% on the basketball floor. He's just been on a tear lately. Big point numbers, big assist totals. He's also a really good defender, can get out in passing. So I think Bennett's really come on the last month or so of the year. You talk everything about Covenant Christian. They've played a tough schedule. I know you were really impressed when they took out Bloomington North. With the subpar game from Trey Flatt, too, as well.
Yeah, I think he only finished with like 9 points in that one. Usually a 20-plus point per game score.
Yeah, so that's going to be, like you said, a great matchup here. I've got Park Heritage in the first one. I'll take Shenandoah in the second one. I think they're on a mission this year. Coach Dave McCullough, one of the best coaches in the state. You give him a week to prepare for Covenant, he's gonna have a good game plan for the Raiders.
Who are you taking for the regional winner then?
I'll go ahead and stick with Shenandoah. I think, you know, if they can get past Covenant, they'll be able to take out Park Heritage. I think just too much talent overall, 1 through 5. And then you bring a great six man and Jasper Campbell off the bench. I'll take Shenandoah to come out of this.
All right. I'm going to go with Covenant Christian over Shenandoah. I think that's going to be, you know, one possession game either way, but I'm going to go with Covenant Christian. The matchup between Covenant and Park Heritage, a little bit more interesting to me because Park Heritage will have that extra break between games. And we've seen it throughout the year where that morning winner does have a slight advantage over the afternoon winner, if you will. But I'm going to go with Covenant Christian to win the regional. I think that would be a good game between them and Park Heritage as well, but I'm going to go Covenant Christian. Sure.
Sounds good. Let's head on down to Huntingburg and Southridge, that regional. Paoli wins their host sectional over Eastern, Brett Bosley and that crew. Southridge got a huge week from Colson Montgomery. They win their home sectional with a victory over a good South Spencer squad. The third team that won their hosting sectional, Southwestern, beat Providence. They advanced to the second game where they will take on Linton Stockton, who came out of the Eastern Green sectional with three victories last week for the Miners. Another really talented 2A regional here. at Southridge here. The first game, Paoli and Southridge, a couple seniors that are just having great years, and Brett Bosley for the Rams and Colson Montgomery.
Yeah, we said in the sectional preview that if Southridge was going to get out of that sectional, Colson Montgomery was going to have to put the Raiders on the back, and he definitely did that. 26 points in the first half out of the 30 for Southridge, and then I think he finished with, 38 points for the game. So obviously just a dominant performance, and the funny thing is he's a better baseball prospect than basketball. He might be drafted in the first round this year, so that'll be something to track down the road, but I think he's going to be a little bit too much for Paoli. There is a decent matchup between him and Brett Bosley, but I think Colson Montgomery is the better player here, and obviously playing at a high level after that sectional. The second game between Southwestern and Linton Stockton, and I think this is going to be a great game. Linton with Lincoln Hale and Joey Hart, two big guards that can really shoot it, can get to the basket. They rely on that duo really heavily. Southwestern, a little bit more balanced. Austin Kramer, Matthew Williams, Foster Medford. That trio has been around for a while, and really, really good trio for the 2A level. Any of the three can put up 20, 25 points in a game. So it's going to be interesting to see that matchup. I'm gonna side with tough one. I was thinking about Linton Stockton, but I'm going to go Southwestern. I kind of talked myself into this one with the balance. I think they have a few more options than Linton Stockton, so I'm going to go Southwestern to get by Linton there, setting up Southridge and Southwestern for the Southridge title. And I'll go Southwestern to get through. 21-5 on the year, and I think they're going to be able to get it done here, Shark. I'll take Southwestern.
I think Southwestern gets by Linton as well. I think Linton's kind of been playing with fire recently, down the stretch, just a one-point win over North Knox sectional championship. I don't think this edition of the Miners is as good as the team that had a close loss in the 2A state final a couple years ago to Andrean and really controlled that game, lost it. I don't think this group is as good as that Lincoln Hale sophomore year. I think Southridge does come out of that first game. I think Colson Montgomery's. I've got Southridge and Southwestern in the title game, and I'm going to go Southridge. Kind of a surprise. Yeah, an upset, but they're on their home floor, and man, you get in the postseason, it just takes one guy riding a hot streak, and that's certainly what Colson Montgomery's been on here, just willing himself and his Raiders squad to a sectional title. I think he does that again this weekend. Like you talked about the Greenfield Regional, Southridge does get, about an hour and a half extra rest, 2 hours extra rest in the winter. That second, I think that could come into play here. They're familiar with the surroundings. This is going to be comfortable for them. I'll take Southridge to come out of the home semi or home regional.
I did not see that coming, Shark. Did not see that one.
Well, you wanted an upset pick, and there you go, Trevor.
We got one.
Let's head on to 1A, Triton Regional, always a good 1A. The host Trojans of Triton take on Cast in the first game. Triton defeated Argos in the Culver section. Caston used a game winner with a couple seconds left to take out favorite North White, the Tri-County sectional. So that's our first game. Our second game, Fremont, won the Bethany Christian sectional in Northeast Indiana. They take on a Couch squad that won a really good sectional on their home floor. That's the second. I think this kind of sets up for a Triton Couts championship game. Let's not count out the Caston Comets or Fremont Eagles, but I think Triton and Couts are both overwhelming favorites in their semifinal.
Yeah, I don't see much balance in this one. Seems like Triton's always playing in the regional. Jason Groves, obviously no stranger to the postseason success, has Triton here again. I think they're going to roll pretty easily in the first game, and then I expect the same out of Couts. I was impressed by them getting in foul trouble in that sectional game. I think Cole Wireman had three fouls early on. It didn't really bother him against Washington Township. So I'm gonna think Couts rolls through Fremont as well, setting up that Couts Triton game. And I think Couch just has too much firepower. We've talked before, this Couch team is not built like a lot of 1A teams. They have plenty of size for a 1A team and athleticism and really like to push the pace. So I think that gets them through here, Shark. I'll take Couch to win the Triton region.
Yeah, I think, we talked about this a little bit in our sectional preview that this has kind of been building for a few years now, this class, this group of seniors coming through, all five starters coming through for the Mustangs, and they've kind of built towards this moment, and 21st Century has always kind of been in their way in the sectional. And now they're past that step. They're past that barrier. So how do they react really on the regional stage for the first time in several years? And, you know, if you look at that championship game, they're going to have to play Triton on Triton's home floor. So that's always difficult. I'll go Triton with this one. I think Couts, the foul trouble you talk of, and the lack really of a consistent perimeter shooting option is going to do the Mustangs in here. So I'll take Triton to come out of this.
Oh, now there's an upset pick. Sharks on a roll with the upsets.
Let's head on over to Frankfurt and see if we can get more upsets. Case Arena.
You can have a hot dog with your upset.
There we go. You have Cowan. The winner of the West Elk sectional took out Liberty Christian in the title game, taking on Central Catholic, certainly like a second home floor for the Knights here, playing the regional at Frankfurt, a venue they're very familiar with. They defeated a good Covington squad at Attica for that sectional title. So that's our first game, Cowan and Central Catholic. Our second game, Seton Catholic, winners of the Randolph Southern sectional against Blue River Valley, take on Southwood, who knocked out Lakeland Christian in the North Miami sectional title game. Really, we're used to seeing Central Catholic in this spot. Might not be the Central Catholic teams we've grown accustomed to the past several years. Cowan won a sectional last year, didn't get a chance to play in the regional, so now this is their chance to shine here. In the second game, Seton Catholic and Southwood should be a really intriguing matchup there. Carson Rich, the gunner for Southwood, a really talented guard.
Yeah, this is a couple fun matchups here. Really contrasting styles. Like, obviously, LCC played a tough schedule and was ready to win that sectional. But do they have the size and toughness to slow down, you know, 6'10 Riley Duncan inside? That's going to be a major concern for me if I'm an LCC fan. Clark Barrett had a good year for LCC, but can they stop Riley Duncan? That's my big question. I think they will. I think they'll figure it out, collapse on them, get enough balanced scoring, and get it done. So I'll take LCC to move on to the first one. And the second one, Seton Catholic, didn't play a ton of regular season games, but then they did turn it on to win that sectional. Really like Jake Moynihan for them. Inside-outside threat, rebounds at a high level. Blocks a lot of shots at the 1A level as well. So he's going to be a tough guard for Southwood. And like you said, Carson Rich, really good player. Obviously one of the, you know, top 15, 20 1A players in the state. Can he lead Southwood over Seton Catholic? I think he will. I think he's a good enough defender. He can find ways to score either transition off the dribble and whatnot. So I'll take Southwood there. And, you know, I'm going to take LCC to get to 500 here, Shark, by winning the Frankfurt region.
Kind of a surprise pick there for me. I'm going to go Cowan in the first game. I think Riley Duncan, just a little too much inside. They're used to teams swarming him, and we've seen step up the supporting cast around him. So I'll take Cowan in the first game. I'll take Southwood in the second game over Seton Catholic. You said just a little too much Carson Rich for Seton Catholic to handle. And then I'll take Southwood over Cowan second game. Southwood, not afraid to push the pace a little bit. I think they're really going to do it to try and take Riley Duncan's legs out two games in one day for the big man. I think they're going to try and make him run in transition, limit some of his effectiveness in the half courts. I'll take Southwood coming out of front.
All right. Not a bad one there, Shark. Slight upset, I think.
Let's head down to 1A South. Martinsville, the host of a regional here. You have Southwestern Shelbyville, a winner over Morristown. On their home floor for the sectional title, taking on Bethesda Christian, winners of the Met sectional first game. Indianapolis Tinley coming out of the Lutheran sectional. They beat the Lutheran Saints in the sectional title game. They'll take on Shackamack, the Clay City section, in the second game. And Trevor, I think the first game is going to provide most of the intrigue. I really see Tinley being able to kind of control their matchup against Shackamack in the second semifinal. But this first one, you have a 13-10 Southwestern team against 18-13 7 Bethesda Christian. Neither of us had Bethesda winning that sectional, but they get by International, they get by Met, and then beat Indy Math and Science Academy in the championship.
Yeah, with that path to sectional title, you had to be on the lookout for Bethesda Christian. 18-7 on the year. And like you said, Southwestern only 13-10, but a solid team in their own right. I think it's going to be, this is probably going to be the closest matchup in the whole regional, because I don't think anybody matches up well against Tinley. We've talked about it before. Tinley played, you know, all 3A, 4A teams, or the really good smaller school teams. And, you know, they had success while doing it. Aaron Humphrey, a junior forward, had a big year for him. Jaden Pinkston on the wing is a super athletic sophomore. Darian Davis is a kind of do-it-all glue guy. And then you got the point guards, Billy Brown and Orlando Hall, who can light it up from, you know, 25, 30 feet on any possession and can get really hot and make 5 or 6 threes in a game. So really think Tinley's the class of the regional here. I'm going to take Bethesda to get by Southwestern, and then Tinley in a relatively easy game against Shackamack. I'll take Tinley Tigers to move on to a semi-state here, Shark.
Yeah, I'll go ahead and take Bethesda Christian in the first game. Just a run that's going to keep going for Bethesda. And again, the second game, I think Tinley in a rout over Shackamack. That's going to be Shackamack not used to playing the size and athleticism that Tinley can throw at you. So I think they win the second game with ease. And honestly, I think they're able to get by Bethesda Christian by double figures. I think Tinley just a little bit too much for typical 1A teams to handle here at Martin.
Let's head over to the last regional on tap here, Shark.
Yep, heading down to Lagodi. Thinking we may see Lagodi in this regional on their home floor, but they were unable to get by Bar Reeve in the final of the North Davies sectional. So Bar Reeve, the Vikings, advance yet again in the postseason like clockwork to the regional round. They'll take on Trinity Lutheran, winners of the West Washington section. Trinity Lutheran beating the Senate championship of that one. Lanesville won the Borden sectional over Christian Academy of Indiana. They take on Evansville Day, who beat Wood Memorial at Wood Memorial for the section title last Saturday. You look at, obviously, we have the number one team in 1A in Bar Reeve here. I think, you know, they're the best team in this field. Could be getting a test, though, in the championship game against either Lane or Evan.
Yeah, we mentioned this on the Indy Star podcast with Kyle Nenrip. I think this regional is easier than Bar Reeve sectional was. That sectional featured Bar Reeve, Lagodi, North Davies, and Orleans, all in the top 10 of 1A, basically, or right around there. So this field's a little bit easier, and I think Bar Reeve's got too much. Kurt Hove, Bryson Graber, and Hagen Knepp, that trio is fantastic. A little bit of a mix of inside, outside athleticism, passing ability with Bryson Graber, the all-time assist leader in Indiana high school basketball history now. So they're just too much here, especially for Trinity Lutheran. I think that's a blowout win for Bar Reeve. Lanesville against Evansville Day. Evansville Day has a super high-scoring sophomore, Tyler Myers. I think he's around 30 points a game again this season. Over 1,000 points already for his career. He's only played 2 seasons for him. So that should be a fun matchup. See if Lanesville, you know, they're a little bit more of a balanced team, led by Jonas Powers, about 10 points a game. And then Mason Miller averaged right around 10 a game as well. So should be a fun matchup there. I'm going to take Evansville Day. Going to guess Tyler Myers, you know, breaks loose, gets 35 and pushes him to a win. But that will come to an end against Bar Reeve. I think Bar Reeve just cruises through this regional with no problem at all, Sharks. So I'll take BR.
Yeah, you look at Bar Reeve, and you talked about Kurt Hope inside and Bryson Graber, the point guard, and Hagen Knepp, kind of a slashing forward. But this Vikings team, maybe more so than other teams in the past, can really shoot the ball. I saw them at Hall of Fame. They made 27 threes, I think, in those 2 games combined. And their shooting has really carried them to some big wins this year. And like you said, it's not like they haven't been tested. I mean, to get through that North Davies sectional, beating a really good North Davies in semis, and then Lagodi in the championship game, they're playing the best 1A has to offer. in their sectional, and I think they get by Trinity Lutheran with ease. I'm going to take Lanesville, actually, slight upset, maybe over Evansville Day. I think they key in and limit Tyler Myers a little bit, but Bar Reeve in the championship game, just a little too much for Lanesville to handle. That's what we got here in 1A.
Not taking the upset pick in this one, Shark?
No upset here in the title game. I think Bar Reeve will be needing a pair of scissors on Saturday night to cut down yet another regional title.
Here's a, this might be a little bit more theoretical question here, because I don't think either one of us really knows the answer. We need a historian. But looking back on the single class where teams had to play two games in a day for the regional, semi-state, and state, I wonder how many teams just ran out of gas by not being deep enough there, Shark. If teams were really a lot of high-powered teams that were only, you know, three or four really good players deep, ran out of gas and were upset by lesser, deeper teams. That's something I've been thinking about here lately, Shark.
I want to say that I remember maybe a couple of years ago, John Harrell did a study of who won the regional title games. Was it the team who won the morning game or the team who won the afternoon? I think it was in the high 50, maybe like 57, 58% were the morning game winner, the first game winner. So I do think that extra rest comes into hand, especially for teams that rely on maybe one or two guys to carry the load for him, like an Evansville Day and Tyler Myers. I think that could be something here that is a concern. They get in the second game against a talented team like Bar Reeve on short rest. That doesn't bode well, I think, for anybody, but much less team playing.
All right, sounds good. They'll wrap it up for this regional preview from Indiana Basketball Source. I want to thank you once again, Jeff Shanley, for joining us. Your upset picks will be noted quite well here.
Let's hope the upsets come through for me on Saturday, and should be yet another great day of basketball all day long throughout the state. Make sure you stay tuned to Indiana Basketball Source. We'll have coverage for you and keep you up to date on all that happened this Saturday for the IHSAA Boys Basketball League.
All right. See you again next week.
Sounds good. We'll see you, Trevor.